I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have not been able to determine a motive as of yet. The investigation is very much still ongoing. We do have writings in a book we consider to be like a manifesto. We do have a map of the schools where it was diagrammed how she would enter and how she might proceed to take on potential victims. We'll have more communications. We've been to the house on Brightwood. We recovered more firearms at that house.
That is Chief John Drake, the Nashville Metro Police Chief. This is March 28, 2023. This time yesterday, of course, they were still at the scene of the Covenant School, the private Christian school, catering to children ages 3 to 11. Three 9-year-old children were killed, three adults, a female teacher, female principal, a male custodian. We don't know if the adults were killed trying to stop the gunman or not, but it could have been a lot worse. The call first received by police at 10:13. By 10:27, officers had not only arrived on the scene, but two had gotten to the second floor where the suspect was, firing shots back and forth. They did not wait for backup. They rushed up those steps, got to the shooter, and exchanged gunfire. Chief Drake.
They didn't hesitate at all. They responded, immediately went inside, knew the danger that was going on. Shots were being fired at the police cars. That did not deter them. They went anyway inside. And really, we could have been talking about a lot more casualties than what we have. It's a very unfortunate, the six victims, but we could be talking about a very high number. I want to praise the men and women of our department, especially the two officers who put their lives at risk, not thinking about their own safety and just thinking about the safety of those inside that school.
If they had hesitated, stayed outside, who knows how many children might have been killed. Plus, there was a manifesto recovered at the house that indicated plans to attack a second school, maybe even a shopping mall. It turns out all the guns apparently legally purchased. But still, Joe Biden and the left start immediately calling for more gun laws.
In this situation, reportedly had two assault weapons and a pistol, two AK-47. So I call on Congress again to pass my assault weapons ban. It's about time that we began to make some more progress, but there's more to learn. But I just wanted to send my concern and hearts out to so many parents.
It's not about playing politics, and unfortunately, the second worst thing to do after making a joke on a day like today is to play politics with it. And unfortunately, that's exactly what the president did. Went back to the old playbook.
The playbook. Those are the words of former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, talking about how Biden was joking before making those comments. I'm going to let you hear that in a minute. It's going to be appalling. I'll tell you that right now. And what was going through his mind as he came down to address a group already assembled in the White House? He'd already planned to meet with them. He had already been notified by that time about the shooting, about the deaths, probably watched it on TV to an extent. So he knew all of this. And when he goes down to meet this gathering that he was going to address anyway, I guess he just decided, oh, I've got a great opening line. I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you hear this, knowing what has been going on, what he's just witnessed, and this is the way he greets the crowd.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
No, you're not kidding, but you're a very poor comedian and your timing is way off. More details about the shooter. Yesterday, there was confusion. Is it male, female? Looked to be female. But then in closer examination, and actually once they had the shooter down and could get more information, police say the shooter, 28-year-old Audrey Hale, and I've still got copy in front of me from various news sources saying the suspect. It is not a suspect. You've got them identified. They're shot dead with the guns in their hands. It's not a suspect. But they say the suspect has been identified as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, a biological woman who on a social media profile used male pronouns. You're not going to hear a lot about that from the mainstream media, are you? The state-controlled media is simply just ignoring the fact that a transgender was involved in the shooting. Why would that be? Because they push transgender upon our children, and they say that if you don't let children get transgender surgery and puberty-blocking drugs, they might become suicidal. Is this a case? I'm asking, is this a case that if we let them get it, they become homicidal? We have known numerous cases of those who had transitioned who want their breast back, who want to be able to have a baby. They're not happy where they are. I've told you before, I truly feel for someone who does not know what their gender is or is truly uncomfortable. But they need counseling, not immediately drugs pumped into their bodies to castrate them, to change their lives. Who knows, maybe to stimulate them to a point where they would want to carry out such an attack. Now, all that is speculation at this time. But we do know there was a text note from the shooter that indicated maybe they wanted to die, suicide by cop. Send a note to a friend that said, I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you in another life. Suicide by cop could have happened if they'd just gone down the street waving the rifle, but they had to go kill 3 9-year-old children in a school, traumatize others, and kill the principal, a teacher, and a custodian. A transgender. Have you heard the state-controlled media mention that? If it had been a white male wearing a MAGA cap, what do you think you would have heard? My guest coming up discussing the timing of this shooting, just days before something called Day of Vengeance. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me. Until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is another victim in this shooting in the sense that it's, and I'm talking, of course, the Nashville school shooting, and it's not just those who were shot and killed and their parents and their relatives and those who were in the school and witnessing it, the children, that you have to look at also the relatives of the shooter. And in fact, I want to share this because I don't want to completely ignore this. The mother of Hale that did the shooting said it is very, very difficult right now, and then asked for privacy, and that's understandable. This is a 29-year-old that made their own decision. They're not a child. You can't hold a parent responsible. Now, if you want to go back and track history and how they were raised, so forth, that's an entirely different issue. But right now, you have to accept the fact this is an adult acting on their own. As I said, it appears they might have been trying to carry out suicide by cop. But there's another part of the story that is often going to be ignored in many cases, and that is that this was a transgender. Watch the state-controlled media, if you dare. See how many times they bring that up compared to how many times they talk about a ban on assault weapons. Joining us to give us a bit more detail on that and understanding of it is Jordan Boyd, Federalist contributor and also the co-producer of the Federalist Hour. Jordan, glad to have you on board again.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you point out in your article that the Nashville shooter might have been taking part in advance of a planned Trans Day of Vengeance. Trans Day of Vengeance. What exactly is that? When was that scheduled or is scheduled?
Well, this shooting happened just a few days before a whole host of LGBT or trans activists planned a day of vengeance. And they described this day as a way for them to get revenge on all of the Republican and red states that have banned mutilation and chemical castration of children. So we're seeing some links between certainly the shooter's identity as a transgender person and the shooting. And that's something that the corporate media is ignoring, you know, and a lot of these other shootings, the first thing they want to look at is who is this person and why were they doing it? And that narrative is being really overlooked right now.
Yeah. And they really want it if it's a white male, and especially if the victims are minority or not, it'll make a difference. If it's a white male with an assault rifle or a weapon of any type, but you're right on this. It is hard to find, even on state-controlled media, any reference at all that the person is identified by police, even, as transgender. Why would that be? You and I know that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the corporate media is doing their best to memory hold this because it goes against their agenda, right? I mean, for so long, they've shilled for the transgender movement. They've advocated for the mutilation and castration of children in the name of, quote, gender-affirming surgeries that we know are hurting and harming people, and even sometimes in cases causing them to commit suicide. So I think this is an oversight by the corporate media. When Dylann Roof committed the Mother Emanuel Church shooting, what was the first thing that they did? They said, this is white supremacy. Okay, well, we know that this woman who came and shot in this Christian school had a manifesto. What's in that manifesto? What does that have to say about, you know, why she was doing this? I think if anything, the media is going to try and frame Christians for not affirming transgender people for this. That circular logic doesn't
work.
They're
already doing that, obviously, because, you know, that's why they went after this Christian school because of that. And in particular in Tennessee, because it was just weeks after the Tennessee legislature voted on a ban of chemical castration, mutilation of children. Voted to ban that from happening, and as you pointed out, elsewhere across the nation. But you're just not going to see them dig into this story to that point. And the other side of this is, we're told that if someone really wants to be transgender, if you affirm, you affirm, you affirm, even if they're 13, 14 years of age, and I don't know what age this person made that decision, but now 29, many of them later on realize I made a mistake with my life and I'm totally messed up. But they're not going to talk about how the kids can later regret their decision. I don't know if that's going to play in this or not, but I think it's a worthy question.
I think it is too, and that's the problem with our corporate media, with big tech, is they don't allow these conversations to happen because they don't like what these conversations yield. It's perfectly acceptable to ask whether this was something related to Audrey's, was she taking testosterone to help with a transition? Was that something that affected her mental health? I mean, we have proof that gender-affirming surgeries, as they like to call them, and gender-affirming care, as they like to say, doesn't actually help the people who need it. A lot of times mental health issues that require just a little bit of help with medication or change in exercise or routine are met with huge bodily mutilation and all of that, and that leaves people worse off than they were before.
I'm looking at a piece written by the website, let me verify which website this is. You you wrote it in your piece. You talk about the Stonewall riots, Stonevale riots, is that right? Stonewall riots. Would you explain that in more detail?
Yeah, so this Transgender Day of Vengeance that activists are planning, they're likening some of their actions to the Stonewall riots when the LGBT community sort of became violent. There was a lot of violence in the 1960s about that, and they saw it as a sort of revolution. And that kind of talk after a shooting that's connected to a transgender person is concerning, to say the least. And I know already some Republican members of Congress have said, hey, why isn't this being investigated as a hate crime? You know, if someone's going after Christians because they refuse to, quote, affirm someone's transgender identity, because number one, it's against the morals of the Bible. Number two, it's harmful to people. Then this could classify as a hate crime. Now, will the FBI pursue that? Probably not. We've seen the FBI take a very partisan turn in the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
That makes a very good point there, too, because this, as you point out, this is this day of vengeance scheduled to take place in D.C. and online beginning March 31. What's that, 3 days from now? I mean, are we seeing barricades being put up around D.C. and special Capitol Police being assembled? I will tell you this, if there were a report that Trump was going to schedule an event on March 31 in D.C., you know immediately the reaction.
Exactly. I think, you know, there's a double standard of justice here, and under the Biden administration, and unless there's some changes made in some of these bureaucratic administrations like the FBI, that will continue to happen.
How are they going to justify it once it's put right in front of their face? Or let me put it this way, how are they going to absolutely ignore it?
I think that's just the case. I think, you know, ignoring it to them means they don't have to address all of these holes. And boy, does this story have holes. I mean, if you think about all the narratives that come out when a shooting happens, you know, ban AR-15s, Republicans did nothing. They emboldened this. They're the ones who caused this. And now you, on top of that, you have a woman pretending to be a man. I mean, I think the media doesn't know what to do, and they're not fans of sticking their feet in their mouths. So I think they'll just try to avoid it and memory hole it.
Well, to that extent, I had noted previously that a lot of Hollywood celebrities who are often actors and actresses who have appeared in movies where either they're shooting guns and killing people or being shot at by someone with guns, they're all coming out against all this violence and so forth and gun violence, and yet I don't see them turning down roles in any of these movies and the big paycheck that goes with it if they're that concerned about glorifying guns.
I mean, I think the same thing can be said. You know, these Nashville police that responded to the scene are heroes. They did yes. something that, unfortunately, the cops in Uvalde last year did not do. They ran in and they saved hundreds of children and plenty of staff from the consequences that come with shooting. So there are still good guys out there, good guys with guns who can do good things.
And that's the other thing. The shooter, according to police in their preliminary investigation, which certainly can change, that they've said that it appeared that the shooter had also looked at another school but decided the security might be too tight. This particular school, though, the shooter apparently had also gone to in the past.
Yeah, Hale was apparently a former student but decided against targeting another location. We don't know what that is yet because of their security measures. And I think that really speaks to hardening schools. That's something that Democrats say doesn't work. They say, we don't want that. We want gun control. But the truth is it is a deterrent. When you arm teachers, when you lock doors, when you have proper procedures to keep the bad guys out and to make sure the good guys know what they're doing.
Police have released some video previously from the hallway cameras. They have now released some body cam footage. I haven't had a chance to view all of it at this point. And we know that the three adults killed, one was a custodian, and one, I think, was considered principal, another one a substitute teacher. We don't know if they were caught unaware or if they were doing their best to try to take down the gunman at that point. I haven't seen anything, but if either one of them had had a weapon, they might have been able to stop it even before police could get there.
That's correct, and I have watched the body cam video. I suggest for non-sensitive viewers to watch it because it is incredibly encouraging to see these Nashville police bust through the doors and do everything they can to find the shooter before the shooter gets a hold of more people. It's extremely encouraging. It brings faith back, I think, and it just shows that a little bit of training can go a long way.
And they also point out, according to the police, that after this shooting went down, the shooter had planned maybe to go to a mall or steal another school. In other words, there were going to be other, and maybe even attack some family members, perhaps mom. It's not clear there, but bottom line was the shooting was not going to end there if the shooter had been able to continue.
That's correct. And I think, you know, we really, the public needs to know what was in that manifesto. The public needs to know what the motivations were for this, because I think this story is so complicated. And without that, we can't know for sure what was going on, what was going through Audrey Hale's head. But we need to know that, and we need to understand the connection that may have to the absolute horrible effects of the transgender movement on people.
If the manifesto says something in there about, I had transgender surgery, I'm not happy, I'm dissatisfied with my body, this did not solve my problem, and I will grant you that this could be a mental case in many ways, even those who decide that they're not happy with their body. And I feel for someone who truly, truly is confused about their gender, especially if they're younger. But we have an attitude now, we're just going to affirm and that'll make them better. And if we don't do it, they might commit suicide. Well, do we have the question that if we do do it, they might commit murder?
Right. I think even if this comes out and that's exactly what is said in there, it's not new. We have plenty of detransitioners on the record saying that was not good for me. That did not help my situation. That did not address the mental health that I've struggled with for years. And for years now, the corporate media has ignored that. Democrats have ignored that. So another piece of evidence I don't think is going to change anything for people who are already dead set on the LGBT agenda.
You know, some of the left are already saying, complaining, oh, the Republicans, conservatives, second amenders, they're more concerned about guns than helping a child have a better life. Are they talking about the children killed by the guns by someone who's a transgender? Or are they talking about helping a child become a transgender? That's a question, but we're running out of time. Jordan Boyd, I want to thank you very much for your assistance, and it's a good article in the Federalist. I encourage everyone to read it, and we will be talking to you again as we get more facts and details. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Here is one of these stories that will have you scratching your head and say, what? As you know, we have the House Oversight Committee investigating the Biden family influence peddling business. Congressman James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, has been trying to get bank records from U.S. banks, launching a number of subpoenas to get the Biden family bank records. As he has said, President Biden has repeatedly denied any knowledge about his son's business dealings, but there's evidence that continues to show that he did, in fact, know. And we're going to follow the evidence about the Biden family influence peddling and shady business practices and seek information from those involved. We owe it to the American people to determine whether our president is compromised, if there is a national security threat. Now, contrast those points and how the U.S. banking industry has been very reluctant to release records to the extent that you've got to issue subpoenas. Contrast that to the Cathay Bank. It has offices in the U.S. and Communist China. You heard me right. Communist China. The bank is actually from China. And we're now seeing that the China bank is more than willing to send some information about the Hunter Biden bank accounts. All the records revealing transactions between Hunter Biden linked business entities and a Chinese energy firm whose head of that was a spy chief of India, or rather spy chief of China, is now releasing as much as they can. And to that point, one of those investigating that said, this is very interesting. The Communist Party controls these types of institutions. They are willingly giving us documents that back up the Treasury records, suspicious activity reports. I've told you about those before, the SARs. If you suddenly have a bunch of money deposited in one of your accounts, they want to know the source. They raise a red flag. That's a suspicious activity report. Does it involve drug money, something illicit? We knew there were at least 150 such SARS reports involving Hunter Biden. But in every case, U.S. banks were told, put the flag down. We're not worried about it. With Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, saying, with the bank from China releasing all this, without being ordered to do so? Is that the Chinese Communist Party firing a shot across President Biden's bow, saying basically, listen, this is some of the information we have. If you don't toe the line, if you don't do things that make us happy, we're going to provide even more information. That's a good question by the senator. You think Joe Biden has an answer? These bank records are clear evidence of all the money exchanges that took place and who was involved. Maybe they went to a third party. Maybe they went to someone else that eventually got to Joe Biden. But the Biden family, we do know, was getting money. Now the point is, how much has that compromised the White House? And I've told you before, Bo Biden's widow, who is being dated and bedded down basically by Hunter Biden, she might be the one that becomes the linchpin to undo everything. Because when she finds out they were getting these millions and all she got was $30,000, $35,000, that could be a woman scorned, ready to tell everything. Well, House Republicans, of course, got their parents' Bill of Rights passed by 213 to 208. But now that same bill is headed into the Senate where it's not likely to get much help at all. The Democrats control it. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says they're going to fight it.
Let's just make sure the American people know the truth. Parents have the right to know what their children are being taught. Parents have the right to be heard. Parents have the right to see the school budget and spending. Parents have the right to protect their child's privacy. Parents have the right to keep their children safe. That is what my Democratic colleagues are objecting to. And notice how they're objecting. Notice what they're trying to do. It is a page as old as time in the Democratic playbook. Fear-mongering.
Fear-mongering. That is, of course, Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, Republican, talking about the legislation that did get through the House the other day by a vote of 213 to 208. It's titled the Parents' Bill of Rights. Do you not think you should have such rights? Of course you should. You just want to turn your children over to the state and let them raise them? Some do. And the 208 that voted against the parents' Bill of Rights are obviously believing that Well, you're just trying to censor things that I want my kids to hear and see. What, drag queen hour? They make up stories that all the books about Rosa Parks are being taken out of the library. They're not. They're simply identifying which books have what material and what age are they suited for. As I said, it passed the House by a 213 to 208 vote. There's your difference in the House again, I point out to you. Good thing that we have those extra five that we want. But now, of course, it goes to the Senate, where it's highly unlikely they're going to pass it. How could they possibly stand up against it? Well, because of the same reasons when you listen to Congressman Chip Roy, they're going to do more fear-mongering.
And notice how they're objecting. Notice what they're trying to do. It is a page as old as time in the Democratic playbook. Fear-mongering, racial division, peddling the lies of hatred, saying that somehow the legislation that would empower parents and give parents the right to know what their child is being educated with, know what they're being told, that somehow that is going to lead to banning of books. What they're afraid of is they're afraid of a parent being able to come in armed with the information of what is being taught their children, armed with what is in the library, and holding school boards accountable, holding their educators accountable. That is precisely what my Democratic colleagues do not want to occur.
And I'll give you a perfect example. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, saying this legislation has nothing to do with parental involvement, parental engagement. This is parental empowerment to do with jamming extreme MAGA Republican ideology down the throats of our children. As if you guys are not jamming LGBT issues down the throats of our children, normally without the parents knowing it. In the 21-22 school year, more than 1,800 books were banned in schools, according to one report. In many cases, they included LGBTQ themes and such material, which they were definitely considered not appropriate for that age level. Parents do and should maintain rights.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar. May the 1st, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli. In Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So take note of this, because, again, this involves TikTok, and China's intent on spying on us any way they can. You've got members of Congress, normally Democrats, normally progressives, more progressive than just even liberal. Saying, well, I don't see spying going on. AOC says a ban on TikTok is unprecedented, so I'm not going to support it. Well, it's unprecedented because we've never had such an event happen. Did you not hear about the balloon that went all the way across our nation? What do you think they were doing? You know what they were doing. They were spying on us. Now, whether or not they were actually able to get that information recorded or transmitted in real time to some location, we don't know. We're told that the U.S. Air Force jammed it. They couldn't get any information to go anywhere. It was contained there. And now we have apparently the cargo box it was carrying, but we haven't been told anything about it, have we? We don't know what information got out. And AOC says if you ban TikTok, that's just unprecedented. It's not right because so many people use it. That's exactly why it should be banned. She wants you to believe that there's nothing serious because it's never been done before, so we shouldn't do it. So I'm thinking, when she worked as she did as a barista in one of those high-fluency coffee shops that I can't even go in how to figure out how to order, except just give me a coffee. I don't, but black coffee is all I want. she didn't probably know how to make one of those special drinks until she started working there. Had never even seen the device, maybe. But she's smart enough to know that you can't ban TikTok. It's not really spying on us. She knows that. Of course she doesn't know it. Go back to the coffee machine. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.